John chapter 15. John chapter 15, 16, excuse me. John chapter 16, 16. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. John 16, verse 13 to 15. We're in part two of honoring the Holy Spirit by being spiritually minded. Honoring the Holy Spirit by being spiritually minded. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of us on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, the Holy Spirit, we said before, and just reemphasizing and reiterating this important truth, that the Holy Spirit guides us in two things. Truth, everybody say truth, and truth is in the Bible, the Word of God. So if you need a scripture, if you need truth, the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So the Word of God is in the Bible, and the Word of God is truth. Number two, the Holy Spirit guides us in things. Everybody say things. Things are outside the Bible. Those are the specific details, directions, and determinations of circumstances and situations you find yourself in life. One of the big things that we shared last week, and the big ways the Holy Spirit guides us in things, guards us, and helps us govern in us in our daily lives, is in our thinking and mindset and our mentality. Now, most of us, ladies and gentlemen, according to certain neurologists and neuroplasticians and things of that nature, say that we all have 30,000 or more thoughts a day. And one of the things that is so important about our thought life is our thoughts could glorify God or horrify God. Thoughts are so important. It's the battleground where Satan rages in our minds. So the Holy Spirit is there to guide you through the battlefield and govern and guard you in that arena of your mind. And your mentality. Why? Because if we think wrong, what happens? We will believe wrong. We will talk and speak and act and respond wrongly to situations, challenges, and circumstances of our life. Because we're either spiritually minded or carnally minded. We have a choice. But I'm going to describe the difference between the two here in a minute. This all hinges on our thinking, ladies and gentlemen. Now, last week, I just touched some hot spots here about no condemnation and clear conscience when we live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 is a powerful chapter. I read it several times a week, and sometimes during the day I'll read it a couple times a day, because it is a catalog of life in the Spirit. Because, friends, you and I don't belong just to a natural realm. We belong to a spiritual realm. Now, most people, it's a little bit challenging for them to comprehend the both. But you live in two realms, ladies and gentlemen. We just don't live in the natural physical realm. We live in the spirit realm. What is so significant about the spirit realm is that the spirit realm overrides, oversees, and overruns the natural realm. It is the higher realm. It is the preeminent realm. But if our thought life is only down here in the natural realm, then we're going to be limited, and we're going to lose out of what's available and accessible to us in the spiritual realm. We always say, what was born again? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are past. You're talking about your new spirit. Your spirit is reborn. But most people are so conscious of their body and of their mind, will, and emotions, of their body and soul conscious, and very vaguely spiritually conscious. It's the difference between being spiritually minded or carnally minded. Because you got to be aware of what the spirit is doing, what the spirit is saying in the spiritual realm, so that you know what's getting right ready to happen and override what's happening or going on in the natural realm. Most of us need the things of the spirit to overwhelm what's going on in the natural. But you can't receive from the spirit of God if you're carnally minded. It says it this way in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to reference it. The natural man or the natural mind cannot receive the things of the spirit of God because they're foolishness unto them. Because they have to be spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. So when you're in a carnal mind frame of mind, when you have a carnal mind, you cannot receive from the Spirit of God. Because it's foolish to you. Because the Spirit doesn't operate on logic and reason. And so human reason and logic gets in the way a lot of times from people who are carnal minded. Because they want the math to add up. I want the math to add up. I want the numbers to add up. I want the situation to make sense. And they're trying to figure out. That's why they stay up late. They can't sleep. Have insomnia. They go through weeks of frustration in relationships. Because they're trying to figure out a spiritual problem with natural means. 99, we said it before, 99.9% of your issues, problems, and circumstances have a root cause spiritually, have a spiritual root cause. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because the Bible says, your Bible, my Bible, says in Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against wicked spirits in the high places. Wicked spirits in heavenly place. That means we have unseen opponents. We have unseen foes arrayed against us. This whole atmosphere is congested with hostile forces. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the first couple of verses, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. And the Holy Spirit's trying to keep you in that arena where you always win. That arena where you're always victorious. That arena where you're always triumphant. Come on now. And that's having the mind of Christ. That's having a mind that's not carnal but spiritual. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's basically what it means. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, now therefore there is no condemnation of those who are in, where? In Christ. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It was his title. His title was the Messiah, or Hebrew word, meaning the anointed one. Where we would see the anointed one and his anointed. That's the Holy Spirit on and in Jesus. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's Christ. This wasn't his last name, his title. That in Christ Jesus, that do not walk according to what? The flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now some Bibles cut off right there. I think that's a big mistake, personally. I'm not arguing against it, but some translations say there's no condemnation in Christ. So people walk around all religiously pious, thinking there's no condemnation in my life. No, it says those who walk not after the flesh, but according to what? The Spirit. We say conscience is the voice of the human spirit, reason is the voice of the soul, and feelings are the voice of the body. So if we go by our feelings, friends, we'll get in trouble. We're all emotional people. We all have human emotions. We even probably would register on an EQ test. EQ test means emotional quotient. But most people think my IQ is going to get me through my circumstances. My IQ is going to get me through my challenges. My IQ is going to get me through my situations that are facing me and confronting me. But usually, even social scientists say EQ is 50% of your success factor through any problem, through any pain, through any pressure, through any predicament that you face. It's 50% EQ. So if you depend on your feelings, you're going to get in trouble if your feelings are on your sleeves. If you get upset real quick, you get mad real angry quick, you let your emotions get the best of you, perhaps you're carnally minded and getting ready to produce some death. Look at this. That's why so many Christians are up and down and in and out. One day they're up praising God, thanking God, and they're fair weathered, and next day they're down in the valley. They're depressed. You can't even call them. Can't even get you to text respond them. They don't walk by their spirit. They don't walk in faith. They flow and function by their feelings. When the going gets tough, they get to going away. So we look at some scriptures here. I'll just give you three here. 1 Timothy 1:19, Living Translation. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. You know people deliberately violate their conscience? See, my conscience and your conscience must be kept clear. Because without a clear, clean conscience, it's not a safe guide. We often say, let your conscience be your guide. But if your conscience is corrupted, if it's not clean, if it's not clear, then it's not a safe guide. See, carnally minded Christians think and talk. They have a right to talk about people, say what they want to say, speak their minds. They tell it like how they feel. They are just violating, crippling, and confusing their own conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. Now, how many of y'all get the picture? Your conscience needs to be clear. Now, you can have a callous conscience, too. That means you get hardened. You get the dreaded disease of hardening of your heart and hardening of your conscience and your attitude. Sin doesn't bother you anymore. You can look at, I think everybody's of age in here. You can look at sex movies, doesn't bother you anymore. You can look at sex videos, doesn't bother you anymore. People cussing up a blue streak, it doesn't affect you anymore. Your heart's no longer tender. It's calloused. Well, praise the Lord. Titus 1:15, he says, everything is pure to those who are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are what? Corrupted. Now, we see three accounts in Scripture where your conscience can be corrupted and not clear. Amen. Well, let's dive into the Word a little bit. In Romans 8, turn with me in your Bible. I'm going to read, guys, I didn't make this correction, so if you could just flow with me. I'm gonna read out of four versions of Romans 8, and I'm just going to read verses 5 through 9. I'm going to read out of the King James, guys, the Amplified, New Living, Passion, and Amplified. So King James, New Living, Passion, and Amplified. I think this really highlights it for us. So everybody turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read. I know it may say verse 1 through 11, but I'm just going to read 5 through 9. Verses 5 through 9. First in the King James, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they which are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." Now let me pull up my other versions here. All right, New Living. "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." So here's how you can distinguish your thought life and your mindset. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Now let's read out of Passion and then the Amplified. I hope you get a clear picture as we continue to read different translations. Romans 8, 5 through 9 says, "Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves." Now, isn't it clear? Because some people's three favorite people are who? Me, myself, and I. They tell us, this is what I've got to do today. This is what I want to do today. I'm hungry. I've got to eat. I want to do. They only pursue what benefits themselves. Those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death. The sense and reason of the flesh is what? Death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to His direction. Because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure in those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. If you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you're not of Him. You are not of Him. Now, lastly, Amplified. Y'all getting something out of this? Okay, verse 5. "For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue things that are great, gratify the flesh. But those who according to the Spirit are controlled by and the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek the things that gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which it is, sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit." Now, here's some more specifics that we need to grab hold of. The mind of the flesh is what? Sensing and reasoning without the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is excluded and not included in your sense and reasoning. Sense and reasoning is the Holy Spirit. He said, without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises of all miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. That means we call it a death cycle or a doom loop you set into motion. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. is does not submit itself to God's law? Indeed, it cannot. So then they which are living a life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God, or is it or be acceptable to him. So having a free will mind and just thinking how you want to think and doing what you want to do and saying what you want to say may not please God at all. But you're not living in life in the flesh if you are living under the life in the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. So we have to ask that question. Is the Holy Spirit directing and controlling me? Or am I controlling? So here's how it works sometimes. You are spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit is to be on top, dominating your soul and your body. Not the other way around. Your body and soul dominating your spirit. And then the Holy Spirit controls and influences you through your spirit to help keep your trichotomy in order and alignment with his will and his works and his ways. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because when you're reasoning and your flesh is on top, what the Holy Spirit is saying is not make sense. It's illogical. It's irrational. I'm not going to do that because it's hostile to God. That means it's an open rebellion against the things of God. What? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to yield to that. It could be something simple like you're in a grocery store, Walmart, H-E-B, Target, wherever. And the Lord says, I want you to pay for them. Their groceries, or pay for that what they have, or bless somebody over there, or go pray for somebody. No, what? I'm not going to do that. What was the reason the Holy Spirit came upon you? To be a witness unto Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That means in Walmart, Target, H-E-B, wherever you go. But some people say, no, Lord, don't act up here. I'm on my job. I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. Are y'all here today? So you have to submit your spirit to the master spirit, the Holy Spirit. Submission is the key to power. But stubbornness is rebellious, wickedness, and powerless. Some people are self-centered. We said those three things last week. Self-serving and self-absorbed. So self-absorbed that nobody, including the Holy Spirit, with a red hat and a foghorn, can tell you otherwise. You're so resistant or obstinate to the Holy Spirit that you stay stuck in your carnal mind. And what happens? You produce death. Now, I bought an illustration. Let me bring my illustrations here so you can see it vividly. Somebody say hallelujah. Can I get you to help? Just take that out. Take the paper off. So this hat represents carnal mind. So I can choose in the morning, at the beginning of the day, to set my mind on carnality and not spirituality. Carnality means I'm body ruled and body conscious. I'm casual. I'm not committed to the Lord. That means what controls me, what influences me? My flesh, my feelings, amen, and my natural reasoning and logic. Without the Holy Spirit input or influence in my life. And so now I'm casual. But the carnal mind produces what? Death, and the Amplified says, it comprised of everything death comprises of. And I'm talking to you about the different types of death that the Bible portrays. Or I can choose to be. Now we're in Texas. So I got to get, this is the spirit right here. I believe Jesus was would be a Texan if he was an American. But so I can choose to be spiritually minded. Are you listening to me? The choice is yours. How do we make that choice, Pastor? You choose to yield and respond to the Holy Spirit, who through the Word helps spirit your mind, helps you put your mind on things above, not just on things of this earth. Are you listening to me? But what did he say? The life of the Spirit, or the mind of the Spirit, is what? Life and peace. Now listen to me, friends. Some of y'all are not excited about life and peace. But let me just whet your appetite a little bit. Life is not just, I get to live another day. Because unfortunately, some Christians hate their life. Why do people hate their life? You think the God kind of life is miserable? He just said the carnal mind is death, and he said that's misery. I read it again. Verse 6 in Amplified Classic. Now the mind of the flesh, which is the sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit, is death, death that comprises of all miseries, all miseries. Some people hate their life. They hate their loved ones in a sense that I don't really like hanging around. If they're in relationships, they hate the relationships. They're miserable in those relationships. What's going on here? Carnal mind. Do you think God wants you to have ugly emotions? Do you think God wants you to have bad feelings and never have a day where you feel blessed, secure, victorious, triumphant? No, but if we pick up the carnal mind, that's how we're going to feel. Are you listening to me? He said, but the mind of the Spirit, to be spiritually minded, is what? Life and what? Peace. Now, this word life, again, is the same word that Jesus used in John 10:10 when he said, the thief comes not but for to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have what? Life, that you might have and enjoy life, and life more abundantly. That Greek word is zoe. That means the life of God, the very nature of God, the ability of God. That means you get to hang out with God. You get to walk with God, talk with God, hallelujah, speak for God, and really have fun with God, and that every day is a new day in Christ. Every day is a day of victory. Every day is a day of triumph and blessings and benefits from God, because you're walking in the life of God. That means you're living in heaven on earth. Too many Christians think earth is H-E-double-L. And I'm going through H-E-double-L. What's going on there? Is that the perspective of heaven? That sounds like death. That sounds like people are dying and grieving before they even die. But the Spirit brings life and peace. Let's talk about peace. Everybody say peace. Peace, 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 peace. Whew, glory to God, the God of peace. That means you're inwardly sufficient. That means it doesn't matter on the circumstances outside, because you're calm, cool, collected, and peaceable, and guarded with peace on your mind and heart on the inside. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3 that thou will keep him, and he will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on him. See, when your mind is stayed on him and not the HELL that you're going through or that's happening to you, come on now, you're in perfect peace. That means shalom. Shalom in the Hebrew, it means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Come on now, wholeness, soundness, completeness. Come on now, you're having a good time with God. You don't matter if the whole world is falling apart around you. You have peace. You have the Prince of Peace, and you have the Spirit of Peace on you. So most of us have phones. Most of us have computers, laptops, or maybe a desktop computer or something sort. And we have some sort of device like an iPad like I have here. And you have to cut it on. In the context of what we're teaching today, is you have to reboot and reset your mind. You know, your phone gets frozen or stuck, or your device, and you have to reboot it, reset it. That computer puts the reset button, hold it down. You got to hold it down till you get the mind of Christ. You got to get your brain spirited each day, and you got to put on the mind of Christ. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So why do we need to honor the Holy Spirit? Because he's the one that helps you to be spiritually minded versus staying carnally minded. See, if you carry stale thoughts into new days, then you're going to stink up and stale that day. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, this one thing I do, I forget those things behind. He has the discipline of forgetting. If you walk out of that door and you're not forgetting, if you haven't emptied out your thoughts about yesterday's misery, yesterday's madness, yesterday's mess, come on now, you're not going to walk with the mind of Christ, because you're carrying baggage and garbage from yesterday. You got to forget. You kind of come to a new day with new thoughts, a new mindset. We must never forget that all answers that we need or desires are in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has the answers. Sometimes we wake up with our mind racing. Anybody ever been there? Our mind is racing 100 miles an hour. What about this? What about that? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? And it's coming just fast and furious. I see many people laughing, so y'all know what I'm talking about. But what are your answers at? In the Spirit. What are you thinking about? How am I going to figure it out? How are we going to pay the bills? What are we going to do now? What's going to happen now? What's going to do? What are you doing? Carnal. Like we said, everything has a spiritual root cause. So the reason this has happened, something in the Spirit's not happening. But the Holy Spirit knows everything about anything. And so he can show you things to come. He can guide you in the truth. He can show you the details of what's going on, what you need to do, and what you don't need to touch with your thought life. Don't touch that. They're going to take my house. Don't touch that. They're going to take my life. Don't touch that in your thought life. Don't touch that disease is never going to leave my body. Don't touch it in your thought life. Because that's a death thought. That's a death arrow from the demons of hell shooting into your brain, saying, you're going to die. Are y'all here with me? See, all victories, blessings, and triumphs are available to us in Christ, in the Spirit. Why? Ephesians 1:3 says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I've been blessed. You're not, this curse is not supposed to be here. This corruption is not supposed to be here. This crisis can't stay here. It has to leave because I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You do the math. Why do our minds matter? I'm going to give you seven things why your minds matter. So you need to lose your mind and get the mind of Christ. See, number first, what you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. Secondly, if you think low, you'll go low. You'll live low, a lower level of life. If you think high, you will grow high and live higher. I like how Dr. Bill Winston says it one time. He said, if you broke because you're thinking broke. You sick because you're thinking sick. You thinking sickness. You so married to the pills, and you're not married to the principles of God's word, but says by his stripes we were healed, that himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. excuse me. And that Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who does what? Forgive all of our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Hallelujah. Your thinking matters. And if you have a toxic thought or destructive thoughts, what do? That can take up mental real estate on your brain. And then as one woman of God and man of God have said before, they give you temporary brain damage. That's why you got to watch what you watch. You got to watch what you listen to, because those words create thoughts. Satan caused Adam and Eve to fall from glory into sin because of a thought, an idea, a suggestion. He's not coming as the embodiment of strength to you and I, guys, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming to us with the embodiment of trickery, mind games. And he gives you thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, and you take that thought, and it's a destructive, it's a toxic thought. And next thing you know, your brain damaged, your brain dead. Third, where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. In other words, your life is headed in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. Fourth, thoughts precede action. It may be a millisecond thought, but every thought that courses through your brain, if you don't let it go, it will produce an action in your life. Thoughts precede action. That's why you got to capture every thought that's against the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of God's word. Disobedient to God's word. No, that's a disobedient. I'm not supposed to look and lust. I'm not supposed to just do all the things that my body wants to do. I got to take that thought and capture that thought. Feelings, number five, feelings are controlled by our thoughts, not our circumstances. What? Because some people, all of us go through circumstances, contradictory, challenging circumstances, but feelings are controlled by our thoughts, not our circumstances. What's on your mind? So when you're facing or feeling mistreated, the devil is working on you and warring in your thought life. You can see people's countenance change sometimes, and they get so upset or get mad. What? Why? Why are they getting upset? Why are they getting mad? Because the thoughts are coming in fast and furious. When you start the feelings of being mistreated, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I'm being mistreated. They don't respect me. they offended me. The devil's working on you. But we think he's coming like with a pitchfork and he's yelling and roaring in our ears. No, he's warring in our between our ears, in our minds. Hallelujah. The sixth one. You must set your mind daily for spirituality and success, or it won't stay set on spirituality or success. You must set your mind. Remember, we said it before, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And you get too busy to set your mind for success that day. And you walk out of the house and you hadn't been in the Word. You hadn't heard the Word and got faith in your heart. Come on now. And you hadn't got your mind and mouth connection hooked up. Come on now. And you haven't been in the presence of God. And so your mind is not set for success. It's set for stinking thinking that day. Seventh, if the devil can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat and destroy you in life. Sometimes you got to think about what you're thinking about. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All temptations, trials and tests are attacking your mind. And where your mind goes, you will follow. You're going to follow it to death, or you're going to follow to life and peace. You must maintenance and hygiene your minds more than your body. I don't have a lot of hair, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all know that, looking at me online. I don't have a lot of hair. But the few hair follicles I do have up there, and I get it taken care of, so it's good. You have to take care of your mind more than you do your hair. Not, that's being silly, but it's real. If you don't get control of your thinking, the devil's going to control your life. He's going to lead you around and box you up like a puppet. Stinking thinking leads to stinky lives. So now, just like you maintenance and hygiene your body, how often have you cleared and cleaned your thought life and your soul? You got to think about what you're thinking about. What's on your mind? See, practically and spiritually speaking, we have been given the tools and the Holy Spirit technology to enable, equip, and empower us to pursue, to pray down, and press into the glory of God. Also, the truth is that we are to occupy the natural and practical things we do to increase and impact purposely and productively. So sometimes producing fruit, impacting the world around us for the kingdom, it's hinged on our thought life. Because if our perspective is, my salvation is private and personal, so I don't need to share it with nobody, Pastor, so stop bugging me. No, that's wrong thinking. Why don't people share their faith with their neighbors? Why don't people pray for their neighbors? They think wrong. Unfortunately, they might say this, and excuse this expression, they can all go to hell. That's what? Carnal minded. You're a Christian, and you're in a death cycle. You're in a doom loop because people around you are dying, and there's death all around you. But you're supposed to bring in life and peace where you go. But we run our mouths, or we keep our mouths shut, and there's no life and peace going out. We talk about people, we gossip, we slander, we backbite. Death. Amen. We need to use the tools that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit technology, just like the phone has, you have a certain level of iPad or iPhones. Many of us have different iPhone this, that, or whatever. You need to use Holy Spirit technology, which is the latest technology, and it's new every morning. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. You get a new tools. You get new technology each and every day as you put on the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Lord, help me put on the mind of Christ. Now, remember, Christ is not his last name. It's his title. So when you put on the mind of Christ, my sister, you're putting on anointed brains. You're putting on spirited brains, spirited thinking, spiritual thinking. Hallelujah. Because you need to build the right build the right thoughts and the right strongholds in your mind. Listen to this. I'm going to read three scriptures. We're going to close in just a second. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That means you got to let it. Some people are not letting Christ be in their mind and be on their mind. They're letting crisis and chaos be on their mind. Because they're all the time telling people about their problems, their pain, their pressures. You're either in Christ or you're in crisis. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, and not on the things of this earth. That means you can't be so busy about earthly priorities and never focused on eternal priorities. How do I know if I'm focused on earthly priorities? All you talk about is natural human stuff. If you walk through the day and you haven't heard what the Spirit is saying to you, what the spirit realm is doing in you or through you, it's not set on the higher thing. It's set on the lower things. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, renewing your minds and adjusting our attitudes is something we must occur daily. So renewing your mind is simply this: exchanging our thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes, opinions, and values, and perspectives, carnal mind. So I'm changing it out. I'm exchanging it for what? For God's thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes, opinions, values, and perspectives. It is literally thought replacement. So you're saying, I'm putting away the carnal mind. I'm putting on the spirit mind, the mind of Christ. It's exchanging your carnal thoughts for God's holy high thoughts. Amen. It's renovating and renewing your mind. See, you didn't get saved once you got born again in your mind. You had to renew your mind. Hallelujah. You have to renovate your mind. Just like you remodel your house and remodel your kitchen or your bathroom, you have to remodel your thinking. Is everybody getting this today? So we are to, why do we do this? We renovate, renew, remodel our minds and our thinking to build and erect godly strongholds. At the same time, tear down demonic, ungodly strongholds. See, because your mind didn't get born again, you had to renew it. What constitutes a stronghold? As we're closing here, stronghold are castles, fortresses, and walled cities. Now, some people, unfortunately, during the pandemic, had a stronghold of fear. And they were afraid they're going to catch something. They were afraid they're going to die. So they couldn't be the church or build the church. Look at Psalms 91. If you put it up on the screen, I'll just read off screen. 2 through 3. There it is. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We got a great media team, don't we? Amen. Thank you. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to what? See, you need to protect your mind. And the God for me and my great confidence. Verse 3. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will protect you from false accusations and any deadly curse. All right, let's go to Proverbs 21:22, Amplified. I'll read it off there. There, go ahead. A wise man scales the city walls of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Now get the picture. We're painting a big picture here. Nahum 1:7, Amplified. It says, the Lord is good, a strength and stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows, recognizes, has knowledge of, and understands that all who take refuge and trust in him. King James, last one. The Lord is good, a stronghold. Everybody say stronghold. In the day of trouble. So that tells you there's good hopes, good strongholds. Because you want the Lord as your stronghold in the day of trouble. And he said, and he knoweth them that trust him. Now, how's it tied to God? Trust. Now, listen to me very closely. I got a couple more minutes, and I'm going to close. But listen to this. A stronghold is going to be defined by what a person genuinely trusts. Where does the enemy build a stronghold? Places where we do not trust the Lord completely or unconditionally. Now, I'm just being transparent about myself. I'm stronger and have a more stronger stronghold of trust in the Lord financially than I do in physical health things. I'm getting better. But I'm not as good in that area as in the financial area. Because a stronghold is a place, listen to me, watch me online, that you unconditionally trust the Lord. No matter what the enemy brings at you, throws at you, you say, God, we got this. No problem. My God shall meet all my needs according to his riches. Some people freak out when the finances get funny. They all go off a deep end and they go into depression almost because there's no money. What does that tell you? They don't have, the enemy's built up a stronghold and not God in that area. Some people can get healed just like that because they believe that sickness doesn't belong to me. I don't care what the doctor says or what the diagnosis is. Thank God for doctors. We're not against medicine or medical doctors. They help you. They help you until your faith kicks in. But some people can believe real quick and receive real quick when it comes to their healing. But some people struggle to the days gone long trying to trust God, trying to believe God because this diagnosis, this disease, this disability, this debilitation is so horrible, and they struggle with it. They struggle with it, and they struggle with it. How does it tie to our mind? Why must we do this? I'm glad you asked. Because when we are in the spirit, we won't be victimized and violated by condemnation and convinced that this is of no use by the enemy of our soul through condemnation. Because there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. So he's always going to tell you, you're not going to get your healing this time. You're not going to get your victory this time. You're not going to get your blessings, or you're not going to triumph through this trouble this time. God's not going to come through for you this time. And if you have a stronghold that's godly, you're going to say, get out of here, Mr. Devil. There's nothing impossible for God. And I believe God in the midst of my storms. But if you got an enemy stronghold there, you go, you're going to fall out apart and flake out and get furious because why is bad things always happening to me? And you're going to feel like a victim instead of a victor. Are you listening to me? See, when our minds are spiritual, then we walk and experience a life in peace. We fully engage in building the right thoughts and the righteous, godly thinking and strongholds to trust the Lord bigger and at higher levels. See, we will allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to stretch us and strengthen our souls by beyond the limits of our current thinking. Because some people believe this ain't gonna never gonna happen. This never gonna come through. This is never gonna come resolve itself. And you got that negative thinking that comes from the devil. See, trust, ladies and gentlemen, is a soulish response. And trust is cultivated in our soul. Soul is basically mind, your mind, will, and emotion. Trust is evidenced by supernatural peace and the joy of the Lord. They sang about it today. Thank God for the word. Don't we have a good praise team? Praise God. And it's going to grow and continue to get better along with our media and connection. So joy is so critical. Peace is so critical to your soul realm. See, trust is the final outworking of mature faith. Sometimes we trust the Lord conditionally in certain areas on the basis of how he's answered us in the past. We let those failures, we don't put them out of our mind. We don't forget those things were behind. We keep them in our mind. That's why most people will remember 5 years, 5 weeks, 5 months, 10 years ago of how many failures I've had and how many people did me wrong. But here's the key. If you don't have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, you don't really trust God. If you don't have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, you can't, I wonder if God's going to do it. I wonder if God's going to do it. I wonder if God's going to do it. I wonder if God's going to come through. You're not at peace. And we said before, faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. But doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad, but faith rejoices, gives thanks to God. So when our minds are carnal and we leave our minds exposed to condemnation, we are not in the spirit or spiritual. Then we walk in a death cycle, a doom loop, so to speak, and experience death financially, death. Debt, poverty, lack, shortage, death, relationally, divorce, separation, strife, envy, offenses, division, discord, disagreements, being argumentative and obstinate, disunity, death physically, sickness, disease, virus, illness, debilities, physical dysfunction, death mentally, discouragement, depression, despair, dementia, emotional dysfunction, compassion fatigue, bitterness, boredom, and burnout. To build godly strongholds, you start with thought and build an imagination. That's what we got to do. Get the mind of Christ. We got to see things from the victory side in heaven and not the victim side on earth. We have to do what we need to do to cultivate a godly imagination. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Would you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.